message is brought to you by the friends and partners of Elijah Amusan Ministry International. Be blessed as you listen.
So we have to suspend spectrum of insight, choir administration, and all of that because we want to keep to time, alright? First service should start, second service should start 9:30, but because we had a flow in the first service, so about 20-25 minutes was eaten into second service. So for that reason, choir just ministered, then we go straight into the word so that we can close the time we ought to close. Amen. Time management is part of good organizational structure. Amen. All right. So sorry for that if you missed choir. You know, choir did not minister Spectrum of Insight. We have a devotional page on Facebook, Spectrum of Insight. You can go there, get our devotional for today. All right. So let's go deep into the word. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you. Thank you for another opportunity to gather around your word. We love you because you first loved us. We know you because you have known us. Now today again, our hearts and our minds are opened to be educated, to be taught, to be led, and to be instructed in righteousness. We receive your word with meekness. We set apart every superfluity of naughtiness, and we declare that the truth that we hear today, we will not act beside ourselves. Rather, we will take a hold of this word, we will bear it in heart, and we will bear forth fruit of righteousness. In Jesus' name we pray. I thought the church would shout a bigger amen.
Amen.
All right. So we're going to conclude part 8 of the teaching we began this month, tagged Ecclesia. By the way, let me whet your appetite. I have a beautiful teaching series to begin with you next month. I thought you would rejoice about that. It's going to bless you tremendously. Hallelujah. All right. It's going to be an 8-part teaching as well. Amen forevermore. Bless you tremendously. All right. Turn your Bibles to the book of Colossians 4, which is where that's the anchor scripture for this teaching. Colossians 4 and verse 15. The Bible says, salute the brethren which are in Laodicea and Nymphas, and the church which is in his house. Then verse 16 says, and when this epistle is read among you, cause that it be read also in the church of the Laodiceans, and that ye likewise read the epistle from Laodicea. So now the word church here is from the Greek word ecclesia. That's the title for this teaching. Ecclesia, E-K-K-L-E, the E as a bar, then I-S-I-A. So, Ecclesia. Ek means the called out ones. Lesia means the gathering. So that means there is no church without a gathering. There is no such thing as whether I'm born again, I can sit at home and just, I've played into the foolery of that idea before. All right. Of course, I had a supposedly just reason, but it wasn't just enough. Alright, because I didn't like the church we were attending at home, so I would just sit down, alright, watch Brother Copeland, watch Keith Moore. I even joined the prayer group in Faith Life Church in Branson, Missouri. That's Keith Moore's church. They had a closed group on Facebook, so we pray at 2 hours. Even though despite the time difference, I would still clog in. That was many years ago. Because then I just have this wrong illusion that there is no pastor in Nigeria that can pastor and stuff like that. So I was just only keep more then, but I was foolish. The truth of the matter is, even though I had a great time, you know, I had good online experience, but listen, online experience can never replace physical gathering. As a matter of fact, if Jesus will come, we will keep gathering. Amen forevermore. Even Jesus had to gather with his disciples after resurrection. He booked an appointment to meet with them, and he made sure that he kept to that appointment. He has never told us to seek him in vain. No. And you're going to be very sure when God tells us to meet, he's right in our midst. Amen forevermore. But unfortunately, we saw a terrible incident of a guy called Thomas. He wasn't around. He was playing church trance. He was not there. Thank God Jesus appeared the second time. Thomas would have lived all his life disbelieving in resurrection. Because the brethren came to him and said, see, the master is risen. He says, no, don't tell me no lie, man. Don't tell me that guy is risen. I saw the Roman soldiers drive nails into his hands. Come on now, don't tell me he's risen. The second time the doors were shut in John 20 precisely, the Bible says Jesus appeared in their midst. The Bible recorded his doors were shut just to let us know that he didn't come through the door. This was a glorified body. Amen. He came in and at this time around, thank God, Uncle Thomas was around. And Jesus went forward and said, you know what? Thomas, come. Touch my hands. Touch my side and be not unbelieving. And the guy was like, wow. The master is reading true. Ah, he went on his hands and said, my Lord and my God. Emotionally, but Jesus was not moved. Jesus said, well, because you have seen me, verse 24 precisely, John 20. Jesus said, yeah, because you have seen me, you have believed. He said, well, but more blessed are those that have not seen yet believed. Hallelujah. Now, this is tandem to what Peter wrote to the church in the early church when they were scattered abroad going through persecution. All right. Persecution broke out in Jerusalem. And then some were scattered abroad to Cappadocia, Bithynia. They were all Cappadocia. They were all in these Gentile nations. Then Paul wrote to them in verse 7. 1 Peter 1 and verse 7 down to verse 9. He says, this Christ that we preach to you, whom you have not seen, yet you believe with joy unspeakable, full of glory. Then verse 10, now he now says, receiving the goal of your faith, which is the salvation of your souls. So these guys, despite what they were going through, they were rejoicing, receiving the word. He says they are blessed. Well, good news. How many of you saw Jesus physically? Physically, were you here 1,000 years ago? But you believe him, right? He's alive, right? Much more than being alive, he's alive in you, right? You are blessed. It's not a prayer. You are blessed. The Bible says it. Jesus said it. Blessed are those who did not see, but yet believe. So our gathering is of great importance to God. And I've told you that in this series, that the foundational reason why our gathering is important to God is because the relationship between you and the individual sitting next to you cost Christ his life. The Bible says, Jesus said that a corn of wheat, except it dies to the furrow of the ground, it abides alone. But when it dies, it will bring forth harvest of many souls. The Living Bible. So that tells you, listen, that tells you, you know, Jesus in the book of Matthew 16 from verse 17 down to 20, SOC, that he died alone, but he rose up as the church. When he was saying that I will build my church, he was talking about his death. He says, I will build my church and the gate of hell shall not prevail against it. I know some people take that scripture to pray. The church is marching on, the gate of hell will not prevail against it. Beautiful intention, but wrong contextual application. What Jesus was saying there was, listen, I will die. I will build my church. And the gate of hell, hell there in Greek is Hades, which means grave. And the gate of grave will not prevail against me. Now, he was talking about how that the grave can't hold him down from getting up on the third day. And on the third day, he proved it. The gate of hell didn't prevail against him. He got up from the grave on the third day. But here's the most insignificant thing in that scripture, in that statement. He was referring to himself as the one who shall die. Yes, he speaks in the same breath of the church. That immediately tells us that he died as Jesus, but he rose up as the church. So now it is accrued to our account that when he died with him. When he was buried, we were buried with him. Romans 6, 3-4, Colossians 2, 12-14 tells us the same thing. So now we're now alive with him into newness of life. No wonder Colossians 1 verse 18 calls him the head of the body, that is the church. Ephesians 1, 22-23 says the same thing. So that means the birth of the church was possible because of his death. In other words, his death was the prerequisite for the birth of the church. So the relationship between you and the individual sitting next to you cost Jesus his life. So he places so much premium on it. So much that he tells us, he says, let brotherly love continue. That's to tell you how powerful it is. In fact, in Paul's letter to the church, all the churches, you will see it patterned in his prayers. You hear him say things like, you know, to the church in Colossians 1:3-4, he says, when I heard of your love and faith towards the saints, towards the Lord Jesus Christ and the saints. To the church in Ephesus, he says, when I heard of your faith towards the Lord Jesus and your love towards the brethren, and I've taught you that the word hand there, from the TSK principle, it doesn't mean, it's not a conjunct. That hand there does the work of a semicolon, which means that is. So when he says, when I heard of your faith towards God and your love towards the brethren, that means your faith towards God, that is your love towards the brethren. In other words, the proof of your faith towards God is the expression of your love towards the brethren. He said to the church in Philippi, to the church in Thessalonica, to all the churches. So Paul's yardstick of measuring your faith towards God, faith there in context talks about the Christian faith. That means your Christian faith, that means your vertical relationship is actually proven, can be seen in your love towards the brethren. And I showed you, I think it was in part 4, I showed you how Jesus helps us see the superlative superiority of spiritual relationship above blood relationship. I know you've heard people say things like blood is thicker than water, but listen, what bound us together is spirit. 1 Corinthians 12 verse 13 says, we have all drank into one spirit. And guess what? Spirit is stronger than blood. So the relationship between you and the person sitting next to you is stronger than the one between you and your blood brother and blood sisters. Except and only if those your blood brothers and blood sisters are also saved. Now here's a bigger perspective. That also means that the more reason why you should walk in love and bond more with your blood brothers and blood sisters who are saved is first because they are also saved. Do you understand? That means if you say, my younger sister say, brother, me money change. Yes, between 2000, and I'm like, okay, 2000. Ah, she's my younger sister. But the moment I remember that, well, she's born again now. Ha ha ha! My spirit sister, glory to God. And then I just say, you know what? I'll send 4K, double it. Did you get the illustration now? So that means the more reason why you should even bond more with your blood-related friends and family that are saved should first be on the ground of your understanding that you have something stronger than blood with them. There is something between you and them that is stronger than blood. That's why Jesus, the Bible says in the book of Hebrews 2 from verse 9, that he's not ashamed to call us brethren. Brethren means from the same womb. That's the Greek word, from the same womb. So what is the womb there? The grave. We came from the grave. We don't die before. That's why we will not die again. Somebody say, but Christians die. No, you don't understand what death is. We sleep. We check out. And to be absent from the body. And we will do that in good old age. Can I have a big amen to that? For me, I've written my own 90. Hallelujah. 90th birthday, I'll just do word podcast to all my pastors all over the world. Corners of your center, all over the world. Amen. I'll say, Baba. And then I'll just... Have you watched part 2 of Coming to America? Now, what's I going to do with that? Hallelujah forevermore. And you know, it sounds funny, but that was how our past patriarchs died. I mean, that's how David died. The guy won't die. Just he called all the people of Israel and say, from today, behold your king. Bye-bye. That's the way we check out. Don't check out anyhow. Amen. I mean, look at Paul. In Philippians 1, verse 22 to 24, Paul was saying, look, I am in between two. Either to go or to stay. I'm just thinking, hey, what kind of communication is that? Human being, mortal. He was saying, well, I'm thinking whether to die or to stay. Hiya! Paul! Really? Philippians 1, 22, 23. He says, but you know what? I will stay some more for your furtherance and your joy in the faith. And guess what? The guy was in prison writing that to the church in Philippi. That's the way we live, brother. That's the way we live. So, our gathering is supernatural. We have a supernatural relationship. And that's why when Jesus said that anyone who in this life leaves brother, leaves sister, leaves uncle, leaves his house, leaves his property, shall in this world reap 100-fold brother, sister, family, and so on and so forth. And in life to come, eternal life. What Jesus was teaching in context there is talking about the Christian brotherhood. I know some people take it and say, 100-fold. Well, the word 100-fold simply means full harvest. So what that means is that if a fellow loses the benefit of blood relationship because of his decision for the Christian faith, now when he comes into the church, he should get 100-fold of fathers, mothers. In other words, the 100-fold benefit that he will have gotten from his dad, from his mom, he should get it in the church. That's what that scripture means. That means, and we have a few in this church, I don't want to mention their name because we are online. There was a lady in this church, she's a minister, she left because she graduated, she did her NYC and left. She's the only Christian in her entire nuclear and extended family. She's the only Christian. And then we lived with her as one family. We had about two or three. I'm sure you are here when one person, one look at saw Jesus here and then cancer, right? We have about three or four people like that here. So they should feel more loved being in the family of God, because you know what? While it is true that blood is thicker than water, guess what? Spirit is thicker than blood. And we are bound together by spirit. So what is between you and I is stronger than blood. Guess what? It reaches even into the afterlife. So what binds us together is strong, and that's ecclesia. Jesus was preaching one day powerfully. I showed you in the book of Mark 3. The guy was preaching powerfully. You know, and some of you must have felt that way before. Like, man, my pastor, they preach. Or more. So Jesus was preaching. Then one of the congregation just said, man, Oga, you did preach. You did. God will bless the mama will burn you. God will bless the. Have you seen guys like that who talk that way? God will bless the mama will burn you. Stuff like that. And Jesus says, yeah. Blessed is the mom through whom I came. But guess what? More blessed are these ones who hear me. In other words, Jesus helps us see the superiority of spiritual relationship above blood relationship. At one time again, he was preaching, and his mom, his brothers, his sisters were outside. They sent around to say, see, call him. And then he said, Master, your family, they are looking for you outside. What did Jesus say? Jesus said, who is my father, who is my mother, who is my sister? But these ones who do the will of God. In other words, Jesus taught in parables. In other words, Jesus is saying, listen, something binds us together. That's why Hebrews 10:25 sees it as bad mannerisms for you to forsake the gathering of ourselves together. Have you seen parents, African parents, you know, if you're American, you know, online guys, if you're American, you know, but African parents, especially in Nigeria, what happens is, it's possible for a mom to have like 6 kids, and then you'll be telling 3 out of the 6 that, and this thing I tell her yesterday, me I not tell that one, no. That one, no be correct picking. He's still part of his picking, no. That's what is happening in Hebrews 10:25. God is telling his children that, like the manner of some is. So God know among his children, those who have bad mannerisms, who forsake the guiding of the saints. But you are a good child. Say, I'm a good child. I don't forsake the gathering of ourselves. Yeah, that was what was happening here. God was saying, and do not forsake the gathering of yourself together as the manner of some is. So it's bad mannerisms to forsake the gathering. So ecclesia has blessings, I have told you that. You see, Psalms 133, the Bible says, how beautiful it is when brethren get together in unity. In unity. He says, it is like the oil that flows from the head of Aaron down to his beard, even to his skirt. He now says, for there God has commanded the blessing. There's so much blessing attached to ecclesia. And there must be this strong love work among us. So strong that nothing can bind us. Do you understand? We have been called into divine fraternity. We are associates of the God kind. We are partakers of divine nature. Listen, we belong in the heavenly pantheon. Not black panthers, we are divine panthers. That's what the Bible calls us. When he was going to address us in the book of Hebrews 12:23, he says to the general assembly, to the church of the firstborn, those whose names are registered in heaven, to innumerable company of angels, to the spirit of just men made perfect. Do you understand? He's talking to us and he's addressing us among our co-leaders. And some of our co-leaders, he says, just men made perfect. He's talking about Archbishop Denzin Dawosa. He's talking about, you know, Wenkin Simon. He's talking about John G. Lake. He's talking about Apostle Paul. Are you listening to me?
Those are the feet of just men made perfect, and it's addressing us together. Why? Because we are one big family. The difference is we are still here on earth, but they have gone to the big home. We are still one family. That's why Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter number 3 and verse 14, praying for the church in Ephesus, he says, for this cause, he says, when I heard of your love and your faith, for this cause, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and on earth is named. So that means he helps us see that we have one big family. Some are in heaven already. Some are still here on earth. That tells you our relationship transcends beyond the natural. Transcends beyond this present earth. Our relationship is stronger than blood. Because if you have a relative, maybe one uncle or one brother, who, God forbid, our adventure did not get saved before they died, they're going to hell and you will never see them again. That again should lure you into wanting to reach out to everyone you can. You will never see them again. But that guy beside you in church, you're both born again, even if you leave the 150 and eventually pass out and Jesus never came before then, you will still meet in heaven. When we get to heaven, I will see Brother Noel. I say, Noelo! But don't think you say, we might not be met in heaven because I amen forevermore. I'm just joking, but jokingly serious. There will be crowns, there will be generals in heaven. You know, there are five kinds of crowns. There's crown of life, crown of righteousness. I'll talk about it some other day. Amen forevermore. And we determine that year on earth by what we do in the kingdom. See, I don't know, I'm not planning to go, I'm not even checking my notes, but I just want to show you something very powerful. See, the love in the early church is so strong that they use a particular word, but I don't want you to get out of context. They call it holy kiss. Maybe I should just, let me just go through it quickly. My bless somebody. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Say after me, say, I am a fruitful member of Ecclesia. I am a functioning member of Ecclesia. Say, I am a wonderful member, a loving member of Ecclesia. Say, I am a loving member. I am a fruitful member of Ecclesia. Hallelujah. Alright, so turn your Bibles quickly to the book of Romans 12. Romans 12. Romans 12. Are you there? Romans 12 and verse 10. Look at what the Bible says. It says, verse 10, be kindly affectioned. I wish I had enough time to explain the word kindly affection. See, that word kindly affection is actually one Greek word. It's just one Greek word. The Greek word is philostorgos. Philostorgos. See, philostorgos means fondness. Let me explain what it means to you. How many of you have a particular, let's say like a jacket? Of all the jackets you have, this jacket is the oldest. You've bought many. You've even dashed out some. But that particular one, you'll find it difficult. For ladies, it can be a bag. Maybe it's Gucci or something, but the bag is old. It's torn. You are going to throw it back again. And your friends are like, throw this thing away. It's not as if, no, I'm not talking about poverty here. You know what I'm saying? I'm not talking about fondness. Like, you've bought many bags. You've given it out. In fact, you just bought a bag that is not up to a month. A cousin came to visit you, maybe a younger cousin, and said, oh, sister, me, I like this bag. And then you still gave her the newest one you bought, but you won't give that old one. That old one is even cheaper. But there's a way. It is called fondness, philostorgos. So Paul is using the same, he borrowed the same Greek word and saying, let's be kindly affectionate. That means, let's be fond of one. That means, let's love one another. Like, let's be fond of one another. That's what he's saying. He says, be kindly affectionate one towards another with brotherly love. Can you see that? With Philadelphia. So he's saying, let's be philostorgos with Philadelphia. Let's be philostorgos to one another in Philadelphia. Philadelphia, Philadelphia, Adelphos, brother. That's what brother. Alright? then filial love. So let's have brotherly love. That's not Philadelphia. He says, so let's have fondness. Let the brotherly love be so strong that we are fond of one another. Because there is this inward solidarity we have towards something spiritual. Because there is something actually spiritual that binds us together. And that thing that binds us together is stronger than Van der Waal force, stronger than electro villain, stronger than coercive force, stronger than anything. Glory to God. What binds us together is spiritual force, divine force. Glory to God forevermore. So you see, like in the Jewish culture, for example, there was a practice in the early church. They have to kiss themselves after service. Now, don't get out of context. You don't go and kiss somebody beside you. I'm not there. Amen. So, in the early church, after service like this, alright, after they hear God's word, they give each other a kiss. I mean, they still do it in some culture, like French people in France, they kiss directly, but I'm not sure if I take my wife to France, nobody will kiss my wife. That one not go work. But it's a cultural thing, do you get? Let me show you an example. Open to Luke 7. I'm telling you the degree of fondness and love that should be among us. Open to Luke 7. Luke chapter number 7. I hope you are giving me time. Luke 7 and verse 44. I mean, you're going to see how Jesus actually, he literally accused Peter of not kissing him. Why? Because you see, kissing for them was a way of show of pleasantry. There was so much bond. Look at it. In Luke 7:44, the Bible says, and he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, seest thou this woman? Let me give you the drop down, the background. There is this woman who just came with alabaster, came with oil, poured it on Jesus, and she was now using her hair again to clean. I mean, can you imagine me sitting down now, the one lady in the church today after service now? I don't try it, I'm just sitting down. One lady after service now just comes, kneels down, you know, she has gone to buy me, you know, a nice perfume, maybe from Abu Dhabi or maybe from UAE, any of the UAE countries, and then she comes and say, wow, you know, pastor, and then she just begins to spray my hair, and then she used her hair to clean my sweat, you know, and so on and so forth, alright? I'm sure some people just like, what's wrong? I'm sure them pastor, they just be like, pastor, what's up? They'll start, which kind of thing is this? Stuff like that. Alright, that was what Jesus said. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, seest thou this woman? I entered into thy house. That means, you know, Jesus was telling Peter, I entered into your house. Thou gavest me no water to my feet. Now, in those days, in Jewish culture, they do ablution when you, because it's Eastern region, it's dusty. So when you are entering the house, you must wash your leg. I'm sure some of you will have parents like that, like my mom. If you go and play football before you enter the house, you are not that dirty leg, you must wash that leg. So they used to have a bowl of water outside. They call it big jar. You must wash your legs. So it's normal thing in Jewish culture. Let's go. I entered into thy house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet. But she had washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Go on. 45. Come on now. That means she must have been wearing a bone strength hair then. Alright, let's go. 45. Thou gavest me no kiss. Jesus is accusing Peter, says, you didn't kiss me, you didn't give me water. He says, but this woman, since the time I came in, has not ceased to kiss my feet. So that means it could be feet, it could be cheek. You know, it's Asian. Let me use somebody, minister. It's like this now. This is how they greet, all right? You know, our home, we do like this. Some of you even do like this. You know, stuff like that. But for them, you know, they want to greet, they just do like this. Oh, something like that. Amen forevermore. You watch Bollywood now, right? Chana! I just pray you won't be deceived by those things. Because how many of you have been to the market before? Your handkerchief drops. Then you want to pick it. Then people just gather you and they just begin to dance. You know it's not real, so don't be deceived. But alright, let's go. So, thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, had not ceased to kiss my face. So it was a Jewish way of showing affection. So kissing was, so that means, I've heard Pastor Benihin said, because Pastor Benihin is also, you know, he's Christian and Jewish, two of his parents. So I heard him say that, he kissed a man of God I love so much. And he said, you know what, I don't kiss anybody anyhow. In our culture, it is sacred. And it is true, kissing is not, I mean, even nowadays, you just kiss anybody anyhow, except if you are going to France. You can't be kissing, what was that? Amen. Forevermore. So, kissing is actually sacred. Now, this is Jewish way of showing a physical, is a physical way of showing a deeper thing. That means when you kiss somebody, there are two ways in the Jewish culture. If you kiss somebody or you eat with somebody, is the greatest way of showing communion. In fact, the word koinonia, when you hear the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that scripture that you all know very well now, 1 Corinthians 13:14. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and some of you even put sweet. I don't know where you had the sweet. Sweet fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Alright, the word fellowship there is from the Greek word koinonia, koinonos. Actually, the original Greek rendering means to dip hand in the same place with another. That's the meaning. Koinonos. That means it's one place, that person. So in Jewish, that's why the greatest way to punish anybody who misbehaved in the early church, Paul told them that they should not eat with that person. In 1 Corinthians, you remember 1 Corinthians 5, that guy that was dating his daddy's girlfriend, Paul says, and the guy was even boastful about it, Paul says they should excommunicate him and that they should not eat with him. Why? Eating together in those days in Jewish culture is the way of showing deeper affection. So it's something they adopted in the church. Alright, they eat together, they kiss one another, there is this strong bond. There is this strong bond. Let me just show you, because you see, that's why Paul gave that instruction consistently. Let us run through it quickly so that you see. Open to Romans 16, everybody. Romans 16. Are you there? Quick one. Romans 16. Romans 16 and verse 16. Alright, look at it. Romans 16 verse 16. He says, can we hold it together, everybody? Are you there? If you are there, shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. Romans 16 verse 16. Three, hold on. Three, two, go. Salute one another with what? Holy kiss. Now, that means that the reason why it is holy is because it's set apart. You know the meaning of holy? That means it is for the set apart ones. It is between us, the set apart people. Glory to God. That makes it holy. This is something they do in the early church. It's writing to the church in Rome. Are you listening to me? This was the practice they do to show you that there is so much bond. The bond between them is so strong in the early church. Go to 1 Corinthians 16. 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 20. The Bible, are you there? 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 20. Fast media, time is fast spent. Alright, let's read together, everybody. Verse 20, 1 Corinthians 16. 3, 2, go! All the brethren greet you. Greet ye one another with what? Can you see that? That's the church in Corinth. You know, some people, I don't know, after service. That's why people in first service, they are so blessed. I love them with the love of God. Amen. They just come early because maybe they want to warm soup that they cooked or something, run away. Alright? And some people, that's why you are still single. All the ladies, any small thing, you are going home. There's one brother that during the prayer hour, he came early. He has been watching the way you pray. There's that, feel of struggle. He's looking at the sister the way she's pacing up, but after service, na lie. Boom! You have run away or ran away. Alright, let's go. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 20. He says, all the children, all the brethren greet you one another with a holy kiss. Now go to the 2 Corinthians, the second epistle of church in Corinth. But I want you to see how it is littered in scripture. It was a practice in the early church. Let's look at it. 2 Corinthians 13. And verse 12, the Bible says, greet one another with an holy kiss. Let's read together. 3, 2, go. Greet one another. Let's go to the church in Thessalonica as well. Yeah, it was that serious. Open to 1 Thessalonians. To the church in Thessalonica, he gave them the same instruction. Why? Because you see, there was so much bond between them in the early church. 1 Thessalonians 5. And verse 26. Are you there? Can we all read verse 26 together? 3, 2, go! Greet all. Can you see that? Now, somebody might be saying, well, it's Pauline. He's only Paul. Ah, like say Paul, like kiss, that's why. But you just read, we read how Jesus accused Peter of not kissing him. For your information, Peter too said it. Open to the book of 1 Peter. 1 Peter 5. In fact, the way Peter said it is almost even too romantic in quotes now. Alright? Let's check it. 1 Peter 5. 1 Peter 5. And we're going to practice it today. I don't mean literally. Yes, I'm saying, because some people are going to be very happy. Ah, that is how I've been high all this day. Just go and kiss somebody's mouth like that. Say, Pastor said we should kiss now. I didn't say that too. Alright, let's go to 1 Peter 5, everybody. 1 Peter 5. And verse 14. 1 Peter 5 and verse 14. Are you there? Now let's read together. 3, 2, go. Greet you one. He says, greet you one another with a kiss of love. Charity there is agape. With a kiss of love. That sounds like a Bollywood tone. Raja, Raja. But it's not the mushy mushy one, you understand what I'm saying? Amen forevermore. Well, I just wanted to emphasize, I showed you all those scriptures to emphasize something. That you see, the activity that was going on among them in the early church, one of those that they did consistently, that depicts a more deeper connection between them, was kissing one another. It also includes eating together. Because you see, we are one body. There should be no schism. There should be no division. As a matter of fact, you see, we've been called out for, you know, for corporate growth program. You see, it is not true that Christianity is a personal race, as it is often said. That's a wrong statement. Christianity is not a personal race. I just go to church. I worship my God. God know my heart. I don't. That's why some people. That's why some people have met some. I met a woman. Oh, such a wonderful woman, a missionary, but she doesn't believe in church. And I know that there are so many views in the church that is capable of making you to lose hope in church. Some, of course, for some, maybe the teaching is wrong. You saw the lady that shared testimony in first service, right? Okay, you were not in first service. Some of you are not in first service. Or many of you are not in first service. She said all her life she doesn't go to church at home because she felt she was just tired of the bullshit. She called it bullshit. She teach them in church. Only she came to KFC as a student on that level, and then she found Cornerstone Christian Center, and now her life, her joy life, I mean, awesome testimony. So for some, for that reason, alright, but and for some, maybe they've read so many news about pastors, you know, scandals and all of that, so they just lose hope in church. But can I be honest with you? Just because there are fakes does not mean that there are no original. As a matter of fact, fakes is just a product, an admiration, a copycat, in quotes now, of the original. If there were no original, there won't be fake. And just because there is fake doesn't mean you should stop trusting originals. As a matter of fact, you've seen fake money before. It didn't stop you from spending money. You've bought some fake clothes before that, you know, the guy didn't tell you it was gone, bleach. Only for you to buy it and then it bleached. I remember that was time I bought a wristwatch. They wrote it there, waterproof. I was happy. I entered swimming pool. But since then, I didn't stop wearing wristwatch. Do you understand what I'm saying? Glory to God forevermore. Amen. So you see, it's a corporate program. We have been called to help one another to grow spiritually. It is not a personal race, it is a corporate race. Christianity is a corporate race. It's not do me, I do me, you do you. No. It is I do you, you do me. We do together. It's a family thing. Ecclesia. It's a family. We are one family. I mean, look at the testimony. The second, I think the third person that gave testimony in first service. Let me share with you. This lady, she's staying with Arumi. Arumi, both of them are members of this church. That's why I tell you. If your friends, you know, some people, they have the friends they go to malls together. It's different from the friend they go to school together. It's different from the friends that they come to church together. They have different friends for different occasions. Wrong. You should have the same friend that you go to church with is the one you go to party together. You know party now? Not the ones that are singing Kole. It's not that one. You know what I'm saying? Alright. You eat out together. Alright? See, let this bond, let this teaching of bond between us, let it filter into our secular life. After church, you see yourself, if you are students, you meet in academia, alright? Academics, rather. You should be able to give eye sight to one another. Not, you know, start doing your face like as though they're only in church. Some people, the people sitting beside them, it's only in church they talk. It's wrong. It's wrong. So these two ladies, they are members of this church. They are staying together. And the other lady, alright, she's just been raising prayer points for the past maybe 2 days there about that. Look, I want us to pray against rape. And the other girl, you saw how she was sharing testimony. She said she was wondering that rape. What kind of prayer is this girl raising? So let us pray. Just be praying in tongues. We pray against any form of rape. And then it turned out that armed robber invaded our own home. That's the other girl's home. And our younger sister, who is 15 years old, was there. And the armed robber almost raped. They wanted to rape her. Well, according to her, she said she didn't know what happened. Eventually, it just didn't touch her. Of course, it took some of their goodies in the family, but it just didn't touch the girl. But the guy was ready. They were ready to rape her. But they were here in school praying. And she was even getting irritated at her, roomie. But both she and her roomie are members of this church. They belong to, she belongs to ushering department. See, let me tell you something you need to know. Christianity is not a personal race. It is a corporate race. See, the Bible says, woe unto him that is alone. Let me show you. Open to Ecclesiastes 4. Because some people think that they are spiritual giants. I don't need anybody. I don't care. I be one man mopo. Even Jesus did not run life alone. The guy was going to spend 3.5 years and he went to pray all night to choose his disciples. He had inner caucus, 3. James, Peter, that talkative, and Uncle John the Beloved. That one that said 5 times in his own letter, he referred to himself as the disciples whom the Lord loves. He wrote it, he wrote, I wrote the book of John by himself. And if he wants to talk about himself, he will say, Peter, James, and the disciple whom the Lord loves. Are you kidding me? So, the Lord does not love the rest of them. Very funny guy. He's always sleeping at the Lord's chest. But I love him anyway. I love him. Maybe that's why he lived long anyway. Because church history told us that the guy lived so long that they put him, you know, they killed all the apostles terribly. He was the only one they threw inside hot oil. Burning oil, and he came out unscathed. The authority got tired of him, so they abandoned him at a place called Island of Patmos in his late 90s. That was when he began to write the book of Revelation. Maybe that's why the book of Revelation is full of symbols. But anyway, I'll talk about some of that day. All right, let me show you something. Open to Ecclesiastes 4 quickly, everybody. Ecclesiastes 4. Are you there? Okay, I'm not there, so wait for me. I'm searching now. Searching now. Boom, boom, boom. Uh-oh. Huh? Okay, just open. Go to verse 8 thereabouts. Media, let me go to verse 8. Okay, go to verse 9. I'm looking for one scripture. This is it. Look at verse 9. He says, can we all read verse 9 together, everybody? 3, 2, go. Can you see that? This is the wisdom of God. 2 are better than 1. Can you see that? Let me ask you, how many of you have dared to kill a snake before? You're a person and you saw a snake, you have dared to kill a snake. Let me see your hands up. Okay, good. I can even see a lady, correct? Amen. But how many of you have seen like 10 snakes together and you dare to kill them? Now, I want to tell you something. See, the Bible says one shall chase 1,000. Now, I thought it was going to say two shall chase 2,000. It says one shall chase 1,000 and two shall chase what? That means the outcome is not additive. It is actually in geometric ratio. That means the outcome is geometric. It's a multiplying effect, not additive, not 1 plus 1 plus 1. It is, I mean, 1 chase 1,000, 2 chase 10,000. That's amazing. You see that? Go next. What did he say? Next one. Verse 10. Can you see that? It says, for if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. Can't you see what Apostle Paul told the church in Galatia, chapter 6, Galatians 6? It says, if a brother falls, ye which are more spiritual should do what? Should reconfigure, should restore. That means we are a prop to one another. Let me tell you a story that does not... It's a very casual story, but I'm sure you must have heard about it. This Ubuntu, right? Alright, so there's this white expatriate that went to a particular African country. So, he came with a camera. I have the picture on my phone. So, these small, small children, you know the way they barb their hair? I think he's in Zambia or something. They will barb only here. So, they don't have clothes. They just have wrapper to cover their distance. And then, so those children just gathered around him. So, he now took the picture. He now showed them some apples that he puts in another place, just like, let's say, less than 30 meters away. And they were all looking at the apple from the camera. He now said, anybody among them who reaches there first will take everything. The children were gathered around him. And then the children, immediately he said so. He was expecting that, he wants to see who can run most or better among them. Guess what? All the children held their hands together and they were running together. So they got there and took the apple and hauled it. So the white guy was like, this is not what I said now. I said, who gets there first, get it all. They said, Ubuntu. Ubuntu, that means, in their language, it means what affects one person affects everyone. One person's blessing is everybody's blessing. And that's amazing. That's the spirit of the church, Ecclesia. It says, for if they fall, the one will lift his fellow. But woe! Do you know the meaning of woe? Cursed. Now, I've told you that in scripture, no word is omnibus. The word woe here, in context, what is the woe? Look at it. Woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he had not another to help him. So the curse is that he won't get a helper when he falls. Is that simple? So that means you must have a spiritual, you can't be in the church and you don't have a friend in the church that you pray together, that say, sweetheart, are you not going to, I don't mean opposite sex necessarily, but I'm just saying, you must have somebody that calls you, don't forget Bible study, don't forget today's our prayer, you share devotionals together, this church, well, God has helped us in our little way for now. So we're helping your spiritual growth. We have a daily devotional. We meet here on Tuesday. We fast on Friday. These are programs, intelligently orchestrated to help you grow spiritually. We have units, and each unit has ministers. There are HODs. Some units are even headed by pastor, like choir now. Pastor Sandra heads that place. All right? So, you see, we have units. You should bond together. You should connect. Connect. Don't just be there, don't live in isolation. We are one big family. Can I add a big amen to that? Amen. Somebody is wondering, why is this important? I'll tell you. Because, you see, there is nothing in this world you can do and succeed alone. Quote me anywhere. There is nothing. You can't go to school alone. See, there is nothing you can do and succeed alone. You can't build a house alone. You can't grow spiritually alone. Somebody must teach you. Somebody must guide you. You must read a book written by somebody. Are you getting what I'm saying? You can't Let me end with this. Open to Ephesians 4 quickly, then we close. Ephesians 4. Come on. Ephesians 4. Are you getting blessed at all? All right. Ephesians 4. Are you there? Now look at, let me start from verse 11. Look at what it says. It says, and he gave some apostles, some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors, and teachers. He's talking about the church. How did I know? In the same letter he wrote to the church in Corinth, in 1 Corinthians 12, the same message. He said, and God has set some in the church. First, apostles, secondly, prophets, and then began to talk like that. Do you get? So these ministry gifts are found in the church. In the church. Someone say in the church. Not on TV. TD Jakes is my pastor. Hallelujah. Do you have TD Jakes' number? Does Dallas know you? The Potter's House, TPH Dallas, do they know you? Benny is my pastor. Bele? I'm set to Benny. Does he know you? Okay, the last time you had a stomach trouble, you called Orlando Christian Center. I think he has changed the name of his church now. Is that where you called? See, you have to be realistic. You have to differentiate between a role model and a pastor. You belong to a local assembly. You have a pastor. See, let me tell you, that's what I am employed for, as a pastor. If you're not utilizing me, that's your own cup of tea. Use me like this, use me well, weather. I didn't mean you should now use me like, you know what I'm saying? Alright, but do you get the point? Take advantage of relationship, spiritual relationship in the church. See, let me tell you one thing, look up everybody. There are some things you are struggling with. All you need is just good association. Those things will just, those things will thin out. See, there was a time in my life that the highest number of time I could pray in tongues was 2 hours. The highest. That means I was really, in quote, in spirit, 2 hours. But I came into a company of some friends who would go to sports is sports center in OE, Baltimore University, and will go and pray all night. Somebody say all night. Say it again. And we still talk. There was one, she's in the US now, we're talking one just not long. And while we're just chatting, send voice note, another. While we were chatting, we were feeling the power of God. She was saying, man of God, are you feeling us in your hand? I said, I'm feeling it. I said, do you feel something going through your chest? And she said, yes, I'm feeling it. Before you know, right here, just chatting, she felt out the power. She was beginning to prophesy to me on phone. I still talked to one two days ago. We will go to sport. We were all in the same church. We will go to sport, pray. We don't miss prayer meeting. We go to evangelism together. We bring them to church. We begin to disciple. We're both, all of us were in evangelism department. We will go to, the first time I prayed 6 hours, it was with friends. I want to sit down, remove the chair. You must pray. Your joy is paying you. That was the first time. It was friends. Amen forevermore. Look at this. And he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Verse 12. For the perfecting of the saints. The word perfecting here is, it means for maturing the saints. And what is he maturing the saints for? For the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. That means when the saints are matured, alright, they are being matured for the work of ministry. And as they are doing the work of ministry, the body is edified. The word edifies on the Greek word oikodomio. It means it's being built up. It's being added. Verse 12. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge. And TSK, you remember? You remember TSK principle? Alright. Till we all come in the unity of the faith, that is, in the knowledge of the Son of God. Oh, so God wants us to unite in knowledge. That's the purpose why he gave those ministry gifts. He doesn't want us to say, you don't believe in speaking in tongues, have you? You believe in speaking in tongues, have you? Okay, we are all good. No, he wants us to unite in knowledge. What does the Bible truly say? Let's accept together. Let's be of one mind. Philippians 2, to be of one mind. You believe you go to heaven by hard work, have you? Yes. You believe that you are a citizen of heaven already because you believe in the sacrifice of Jesus. Yes. Hold hands together, everybody. We are one now. No, that's unity in spite of the faith. Unity in the faith. What many people call unity in the faith is, unity in spite of the faith. So that means he wants us to unite in knowledge. That means I can be here in Kefi, Nigeria, and I'm in the unity of the faith with another preacher, all right, in Singapore. Thousands of miles away. Why? Because we believe the same thing. So unity of the faith is unity in the... That means he doesn't want a situation where the Son of God, Jesus, is presented to some people, all right, as a killer. But he's presented to other people as a life giver. He doesn't want people to have different shades of idea, different idea about him. He wants us to unite in knowledge about the Son of God. And his greatest system to achieve that is Ecclesia. So he sets some in the church to undertake his work. Look at it. And then the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Go on, verse 13. Verse 13, quickly. 14. He says, that we henceforth be no more children. Listen to me, church. Look up. As a believer, you must have that henceforth moment in your life where you tell yourself that, you know what, from today, I refuse to be tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. If handkerchief they are selling there now, you are going there. Ah, the prophet of God is there, you are there. You are there. He says that we henceforth be no more tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Verse 15. He says, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things. Wow. So God wants us to grow up into him in all things. Now pay attention now. I'm getting closer. Which is the head, even the Christ, verse 16. From whom the whole bodily fitly joined together are compacted by that which every joint supplies. Somebody say every joint supply it. Let me use a simpler translation. I think I did this before. What he's saying here is that our spiritual growth, he's addressing spiritual growth now in verse 15 to 16. And he says it will only happen by that which every joint supplies. Can I get NIV or NLT? Anybody with NIV or NLT? So you have to know that you have a part to play in the spiritual growth of the person sitting next to you. Oh. Look up, everybody. Spiritual growth was never addressed in the epistle, alright, as an individual task. It is always addressed as a corporate task. Why? Because you can't really grow alone. You need somebody. You need a prop. Can I get NLT? Let me just read then I close. NLT or NIV, any simpler translation apart from King James. NIV, please give me. Thank you, ma'am. Look at what it says. It says, instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become, in every respect, the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body joined and held together by every supporting ligament grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Somebody say, as each part does its work. So if you do, that means it's a corporate work that we do. The spiritual growth of everyone is dependent on the work that is being done by the other person. That means, listen. We are one body, right? Talk to me, right? Have you seen somebody, one leg grows and then the other part are not growing? What's that? That's disease. Come on, talk to me now. The body must grow in the right proportion. Except you are pregnant. That's when your stomach will be bigger than the rest body. Normally, every part of the body, there must be a proportionate growth. And it will only happen because every part is doing its job. For example, the food you eat, simply speaking, your hand will go to the market, your eye will see, your buttocks will sit down on the chair, will sit down on the car, you will drive, your eye will see, your taste will be able to taste the food that you are cooking. Are you listening to me? They are all working together, and finally your hand fetches, your hand cannot say, I will hold the food, I will not put it to the mouth. No, I will hold it. It won't benefit anybody. But when the hand fetches the food, put it in the mouth, swallows it, assimilation takes place, alright, process of digestion, then other parts, everybody gets its own part, and then the body grows. So all the body is working together for the corporate growth of the entire body. Is that simple enough? Thank you, ma'am. Did you get it? Come on, did you get it? This is ecclesia. That's ecclesia. Glory to God forevermore. So our spiritual growth, 30% you say, my spiritual growth depends on you. I depend on you. You depend on me. You believe that? Rise on your feet, everybody. Say this after me. Say, Father, I thank you. Say, Father, I thank you. Because I know there is something in me that you desire that I use to edify, to build up another individual in the body. I am a fruitful member of the body. Lift your hands and just appreciate him. Just thank him. Just thank him. Just thank him. Just thank him. Yes, labda hatoko sarahari. I'm a fruitful member of the body. I'm a fruitful member of the body. Thank you, Father. Lord, we give you praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Father, we thank you for today's word. Thank you for today's teaching. We pray and believe that you establish us in this truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Church, give the Lord a shout of praise.
We know that you've been blessed. For further inquiry, counseling, prayer, and partnership, please call +234 8074 07 8566. We celebrate you.